Hey, listen, I don't know if you're allowed to do this or not, but there's a lot of things that I just ask for forgiveness for without asking for permission. So I'm basically pausing the Christmas story. We're just going to push pause. And while the Christmas story is kind of paused and the manger scene's there and they're all the characters are there, Mary, Joseph, and the baby are there, we're just kind of pushing pause. And we're looking at the atmosphere, the environment around this place where the Messiah was to be born. It's the environment intended to receive the Messiah, the coming king. What did it look like? What was the environment like? What was Bethlehem like when Jesus showed up? And the premise of the entire series is Bethlehem might be closer than you and I think this Christmas. See, we're not talking about the Bethlehem in the Middle East, that first Christmas. We're talking about Bethlehem within me and you, which is the birthplace of Jesus this Christmas. And so the series is called Be Born in Me. And last week, we talked about Bethlehem being asleep, not just asleep at night and dark and in their resting places, but they were asleep internally. There was a darkness over their hearts and their minds. There was a night that was reigning in their lives. And we talked last week that Christmas is a wake-up call. That's really what Christmas is. We don't celebrate a day. We celebrate a Savior. We're celebrating annually the wake-up call, the expectation, the anticipation that Jesus wants to be born in me. There's so much to be excited about. There's so much to anticipate. There's so much to expect. No one should sleep through the good news of great joy that is being offered today. I mean, the angels said that first night, but that can be said today, that there is good news of great joy today. And so that when we are awake, the sun is shining through us. And so the first week was that Bethlehem was asleep. And we kind of understood how that applied to us. But then this Sunday, Bethlehem is seen as less than. Bethlehem is described as small. Bethlehem is a forgotten city. And so we want to look briefly at Matthew chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. And we see this comment about the smallness, the forgetfulness of Bethlehem. It says in verse 5, "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet Micah has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." And so what is being quoted here is a prophecy from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And what it's basically describing is that in this lowly, forgotten, uninterested city called Bethlehem, the Messiah would be born. Now, the actual conversation that's happening in Matthew chapter 2 is Herod is now realizing that Jesus is born, and he calls this group of religious leaders together and begins to ask, "Hey, what do you know about this Jesus's birth?" Now, what we know about Herod is that he's an old murderous man. I mean, he's already killed his wife, mother-in-law, and three sons. Can you believe that, Nana? He killed his mother-in-law. What a wicked man. And he hears that there's a king that has been born. No one is born a king. No one is ever born a king. And it says that this king has been born. And so Herod is now disturbed. And when Herod is disturbed, everyone's disturbed. Because they know what this Herod guy is like. He is a murderous guy. And so when he gets frustrated, people die. And so it's not that the people were disturbed that this baby was born in Bethlehem. No, they're disturbed because they don't know what this volatile man will do when he hears that someone is threatening his throne. And so when Herod asked these religious leaders, what do you know about this coming Messiah? They don't have to run to the scriptures and try to look up what does it say about the Messiah coming. No, they know exactly the correct answer. They knew exactly when and where this baby was being born. However, they only knew it academically. They only knew it in their head. They only realized that, oh yeah, this is what is said about the Messiah. And the way we know this baby was only born 6 miles, 6 miles southwest of where they were standing. And none of them went to see him. They sent these wise men that had come and inquired, but none of them went. Even Herod says, hey, go and look and send me a report. It's only 6 miles away. And what Herod wanted to do was to kill and destroy this incoming king, attempting to stop this immaculate emancipation of the sins of mankind. It says the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem, 6 miles southwest of Jerusalem. But it couldn't have been any further for these religious leaders. It was only 6 miles, but it couldn't have been any further. Why? Because Bethlehem had no value to these men. Bethlehem, even though the Messiah was going to be born there, had no value. It was the least uninteresting, forgotten city. I mean, we sing the songs, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. It's only 6 miles away. It had no value. Born to set the people free. It's only 6 miles away, but it had no value. Oh, come all ye faithful, only 6 miles away, but had no value. Oh, come, let us adore him, only 6 miles away, it had no value. Bethlehem was little. I mean, we're talking little. So little that it had 150 to 200 people the night that Jesus was born. That's how small we're talking about. I mean, we'll be that big in a year. That's where I get a hearty amen. Thank you. A little in size, 150 to 200 people. It was little in significance. It was a forgotten city. In Joshua chapter 15, the prophet is listing the 100 most important cities in the region around Jerusalem, and Bethlehem is not listed. There's 100 little cities listed in Joshua chapter 15, but Bethlehem is not mentioned. It had minimal impact on the Jewish economy and commerce. It was a small, rural, out of the way community. It was humble at best. But church, I think it wasn't humble. I think it was despised. Bethlehem had scars. Bethlehem had a past. Bethlehem had events and people that they hoped you would never remember or forget about. Here's the reason why I know that Bethlehem had a past. This is the reason why I know Bethlehem had scars. This is the reason why I know Bethlehem had a history that they hoped you didn't remember, because Bethlehem wasn't always small. Bethlehem wasn't always forgotten. There was a journey that got Bethlehem to the day that Jesus was born being insignificant. Because what we know about Bethlehem in the Old Testament, it was a huge ancient caravan route. It was a bustling city at one point. It was the place where Rachel, the precious bride of Jacob, was buried. The story of Naomi and Ruth and Boaz, it was in Bethlehem. The prophet Samuel, in order to replace King Saul, comes to Bethlehem and searches for the next king. I mean, in Bethlehem. And they find a guy named, maybe you've heard of him. His name was David. They found him in Bethlehem. So wait a minute. This is a great, strong, mighty, important city. And now, several hundred years later, 1,000 years later, it's nothing. It's insignificant. It's forgotten. I'm wondering what scars Bethlehem had in that journey. What the past that Bethlehem was trying to hide in that journey. See, Bethlehem had a story. And you could probably preach the rest of the sermon, right? We have a story. Bethlehem was still a place where God wanted to do great things on the day Jesus was born. We are still people in whom and through whom God came to do great things. The Bible says that God knew you before the foundation of the world. He knew Bethlehem. He knew what Bethlehem was going to be. Even at its highest point, at its lowest point, he knew the purpose for Bethlehem. And that's true for you and I this Christmas. Even if we're at the highest point in our life right now, or we're at the lowest point of our life right now, God knows the purpose he has for you. God is working his purpose through Bethlehem this first Christmas in order to see his kingdom come. And that's true for us too. God is working his purpose through you this Christmas in order to see his kingdom come. So maybe some of you this Christmas are feeling like Bethlehem, left out, on the fringes, in crisis. And let this story in Matthew chapter 2 and this prophecy in Micah chapter 5 demonstrate to us that even when we are in crisis or feeling forgotten or feeling less than or uninterested or small, Christ still wants to enter the world through you. Through you this Christmas. Now, what do we know about this word Bethlehem, right? If we just take a small look at the definition, we know it means the city of bread, the house of bread. And there's another word that is often used for Bethlehem, Ephratah, which means the place of fruitfulness. Judah actually means praised. So we have these three words, these five words or six words. There's this bread, place of fruitfulness, and praised. Isn't that the truest definition of the birthplace of Jesus that first Christmas? That when Jesus showed up, it was a place of bread. It was a place of fruitfulness. It was a place to be praised. And I want you to know today that this Christmas, the place where Jesus wants to be born is the exact same definition. You are the receiver and the extender of the bread of life. That's who you are. Jesus wants to be born in you. He wants to bring the bread of life to you. He wants the bread of life extended from you. You are called to be fruitful beyond yourself. That's what Ephratah means. It means the place of fruitfulness. That we are called, the birthplace of Jesus this Christmas is a place of fruitfulness. It is a place that we are called beyond ourselves to be fruitful. You are a place where the praise will ever be on your lips. This Christmas, the place where Jesus is to be born is supposed to be a place that praises him. Don't ever believe God needs mighty nobility to accomplish his mission. Don't ever believe God needs mighty nobility to accomplish his mission. Because he used what others would have called meager inability to change the world. So often, friends, and this is so true, we look at other people, we say, well, they're smarter, they're faster, they're more gifted, they're more creative. God's going to use them. He's going to use the mighty nobility, the best, in order to build his kingdom. But what the story of Jesus, what the story of Bethlehem teaches us, that he's not interested in using the mighty nobility. He's interested in using the meager inability to change the world. Regardless of how obscure you may feel, you are a significant place where the Savior will be born this Christmas. God is using you and I to change the course of history and eternity for people, just like he did the Bethlehem in the first Christmas. Amen? That stable, that manger, that Bethlehem, that's you and me. 1 Corinthians, do we have 1 Corinthians 1, 25 to 29? For the foolishness of God, this is Paul. Paul is echoing the Bethlehem theme in the coming of Jesus. For the foolishness of God is wiser than the human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than the human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many were of noble birth. Does that describe Bethlehem? That's not who. Bethlehem wasn't this great place. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things of this world and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. I don't know. I never met Paul. I'm not sure what he was thinking when he wrote that. But I'm wondering if it wasn't Bethlehem and how God used Bethlehem in bringing the Savior to the world. He chose the foolish things, the things that were not, to shame the things that were. God does not dwell in us and through us because we are great or we have significant merit and achievement. He dwells in us because he knows that he wanted to use the meager inabilities rather than the mighty nobility. And see, we see, if we just follow this out in Matthew chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah." Listen to this. "For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Listen, the one who lives in you, the one that wants to be born in you, is the one that will stand with you. He's working through those who trust him. He will not leave you. He will lead you. He has the ultimate potential through his strength to help us overcome every obstacle and purify and give us joy. He can bring and supply peace. He is the fulfillment of that great carol. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love are housed in you and me this Christmas. You are the place where Jesus is born this Christmas. So the most famous person in the world was born in Bethlehem. The angels proclaimed him. The angelic host praised him. The shepherds published his story. Mary pondered upon him. And the entire world is still puzzled by him. But he desires to make his home in us this Christmas. So we studied what Bethlehem was in the Old Testament. We studied what Bethlehem was on the day that Jesus was born. But if we took some time and looked at what Bethlehem was or is today, what would we see? We would see a chaotic, growing city in constant flow of tourism, peaking during the Christmas season. a place where there are sacred Christian sites. So let's get that straight. Wait, a chaotic, growing place of tourism that peaks during Christmas and has some sacred Christian sites to it. What's that sound like? That sounds like the American local church. We're kind of growing. We're kind of chaotic. Tourism is kind of cool. Like, hey, well, we're going to go to the cool church. I pastored that church. I pastored the cool church one time. Everybody shows up for the cool church. Here's the issue. I don't want Northway Community Church to be about tourism. I don't want any church to be about tourism. I want Bethlehem within me today to be the place where Jesus is born. The place from which Jesus goes forth. And so, church, the Bethlehem within me today, there is no sleeping. There is no slacking. Jesus, the one born today in this season, brings and supplies peace between God and his creation. Do you know that? That the Jesus that is born within you and the Jesus that's born within me, there is things that he brings. It says clearly in the scriptures that he brings peace. The very thing that all of us want at Christmas time is peace. And what he brings, and you break down this peace, he pardons iniquities. Basically, what does that mean? That's a fancy way of saying when Jesus comes and is born in you, he takes care of your past. He doesn't just pardon our iniquity. He removes our transgressions. What does that mean? That's just a fancy way of saying that he's able to make right our mistakes. So he treads underfoot our past. He takes our mistakes into the depths of the sea. He's dissipating the anger of God. He's full of compassion. And he's defeating our enemies, both foreign and domestic. You know what our domestic enemy is? It's me. It's inside. It's the one on the inside. You know we have some foreign and domestic enemies? We got people on the outside that are enemies. But sometimes our greatest enemy is the person within. And Jesus is saying that when I come and when I am born in you at Christmas, I pardon your iniquities. I tread your past under my foot. I remove your transgressions. I take your mistakes into the depths of the sea. I dissipate the Father's anger. I'm full of compassion. And I defeat all enemies, foreign and domestic. If you're sleeping, you want to wake up and hear that. And he does it in a Bethlehem like you and like me. Lowly, uninterested, forgotten. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10 tells us this. Who dares despise the day of small things? Who dare despise the day of small things? Church, there are so many reasons and there's so many excuses. We're too small. We're too meager. We're too small of a church. We're too small of a town. We're too small of a ministry. We have too small of a house. And the thing that I love about Jesus' birth, and I don't mean to split hairs here, but I think this is really, really important. See, I think that some might say, well, that Jesus' birth defined Bethlehem. But I would rather use a different word. It's not about being defined by Jesus' birth. I want us to be fulfilled by Jesus' birth. Now, I don't want you just to be defined. I'm defined by Jesus' birth. I'm a Christian. Jesus died for me. So my life is defined by that. I just think that's short of what the truth is. It's not simply you're a Christian, you're a little Christ follower, and that's who you are, and your identity has changed. No, I want us, catch the difference here. I think this is so important. It's not about defining. This is just who I am. It's a stamp on my forehead. I'm a Christian. I want you and I to be fulfilled by the birth of Christ in our life. And I hope there's a difference there. There is something, there's a fullness, there's a fulfillment, there's an expectation that's met. There's a capacity to the fulfillment of Jesus. Because when Christ is born in us, we are changed. So, in conclusion, sometimes when you, and I don't know this, I haven't seen this in Williamsport, but I'm a new person here. So, but in our last town that we lived in, the next town over, when you drove into Follinsby, West Virginia, there was a sign at the entrance of either way you came in, and it was a sign. It says it's the hometown of some Olympic sprinter, 1928 or 1946 Olympic sprinter. Like, no one's ever met him. I don't know where he's at. But it says this sign. It says the hometown of this silver medal Olympic sprinter. And I wondered about that. Like, when you go into a town, and maybe I know you've seen this, it says real big, the home of or the birthplace of this some famous person that kind of defines or fulfills this town. I wonder, and as corny as this sounds, please don't miss the meaning for the gimmick. But I wonder this Christmas, this season, this coming year, when people enter or interact with you, will they know that you are the hometown or the birthplace of Jesus? If people meet you this year, if they interact with you, will they know that you are the birthplace or the hometown of Jesus? Bethlehem is closer than you might think. See, that first Christmas, it was only 6 miles to significance. Those people that were having that conversation in Matthew chapter 2, they were 6 miles from significance. Today, friends, I believe we're only 5 words away from significance. I mean, 6 miles from significance, and they all missed it. They all missed the Savior. They all missed the birth of Jesus because they believed that the place had no value. Today, it is only 5 words to significance. Don't miss where Jesus wants to be born today. The 5 words. It's actually 4. I lied. Sorry. When we recognize that we have fallen short of the perfection of God, when we recognize that Jesus was the truth and the divine and fully God and fully man, when we recognize that God is perfect and our lives don't match up with that perfection, we have sin in our life, we need to recognize, I'm sorry, recognize there is we have shortcomings. We have sin in our life. Recognize, thank you, that Jesus died on a cross for me. He died on a cross, so all those things I'm sorry about, I'm no longer held accountable for. I'm forgiven from. And then please come into my life and make me new. Sorry, thank you, please. The 4 words to significance. The 4 words that allow Jesus to be born in me. Bethlehem is a lot closer than you and I might think. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I'm so grateful today for your word. It's so much fun to look at and to dive into and to wrestle with and to teach. But Lord, it's really, really hard to apply. And so, God, today in Jesus' name, I pray that each one of us would realize the truth of your word today, the truth that Bethlehem is a lot closer than we might think. Bethlehem is in me this Christmas. The desire is that Jesus, the Messiah, the coming King, the Rescuer, the Redeemer, the Lord, the Savior, would be born in me this Christmas. That I would recognize my sinfulness. I would recognize the things that are uninteresting and forgettable in my life. And I would say, I'm sorry for those things. And that I and my friends here today would recognize that the way to the birth of Christ, the way of the coming King, is by receiving the free gift of salvation. The death on the cross, the forgiveness of sins, the sacrifice so that I didn't have to die and I could live. Please, today, Lord, with every sincere heart, Lord, I know there's got to be at least one in this room. There could be 80. But every sincere heart today in this room, I pray, Father, that you would enter and that you would be born in me, born in that open heart today, born in that Bethlehem today. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your love for us. Thank you, Father, for your hope and your peace that comes through Jesus. Lord, I pray today that when we go forth from here, we would have a beautiful sign. This is the hometown of Jesus. This is the birthplace of the Savior. And that we would be prepared through a smile, a hug, a handshake, or even a few God-given words, we'd be able to share Jesus with somebody and introduce them to Jesus this Christmas. Because here's the thing, he doesn't just want to be born in me. He doesn't just want to be born in us. He wants to be born in somebody new this Christmas. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before I sit down, in each of your bulletins, you received an invite card, and it says, Be Born in Me, the sermon series. On the back is our Christmas Eve invite. I want you to invite people to Christmas Eve. You know where we're going. There's nothing up my sleeve. We want to invite people to have Jesus born in them this Christmas. Amen. And so we believe that God has lots and lots of Bethlehems that he'd like to enter this year. And we have friends. There's Bethlehem friends that you can introduce. So let's stand together.